We're in Luke.
Where's my secretary? Oh, she was busy in Sunday school. Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Starting at verse 40. We're going to be reading verse 40 through 48 today. We're looking, it's going to be a two-part sermon. We're going right to the middle, and we'll finish it next week. But starting in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his coat, and immediately her hemorrhage was stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, and I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of the people, of all the people, the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for the power that you have in our lives. Thank you for the overwhelming gift of love that you have given us. Thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you in every situation, in every trial. We can run to you. Thank you that you answer prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we serve a God who cares. We serve a compassionate God. And Father, you have shown that compassion in your Son, Jesus Christ. And in what you have done for us, we praise you. Thank you for your gift of salvation, tremendous gift that only you could have engineered, only you could have accomplished, because Father, you are such a great and gracious God. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Luke, I'm not going to go through all the background, but Luke, the writer, he's desiring for us to know the humanity of Christ, but also the fact that Christ had power. The fact that God used his power in Christ to show others his love. So he is explaining this throughout the book. We've come to the place in the book where he has used his parables. Remember the storm? He taught the people all day. They got in the boat. They went across. They didn't know. The disciples didn't know why they were going. And the storm came up. And he stopped the storm. And the disciples were so scared and said, "Don't you care about us? Don't you care what happens to us?" And he said, "You have little faith." But then he got over there and healed the demon-possessed man. And that man ended up with much faith. Because he left him there. He said, "You stay here. Stay here and tell everybody what's happened to you." It wasn't like the disciples, "You need to keep learning, keep coming, keep learning." But he's done that. He has the power over the storm. We saw that. He had power over demons. And now what we're going to look at is the compassion of Jesus. The people asked him to leave. The people in that country said, "No, we can't handle you. We can't control you. We don't know enough about you. Just leave. If you would just leave, that would be great. You've already caused us great economic problems here. Just leave." And he did. He abided by their wishes, but he left a witness there. He left the man who could be a witness because he was part of their culture. He knew them. And he said, "Just tell them what's happened to you. Just tell them what God has done for you." So he went from being a maniac to a missionary. And Christ left him there. But then he left. He went back over where he had started, back over to Capernaum. What we're going to look at is his compassion today, and we're going to start by looking at his popularity. Look at verse 40. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. They welcomed him. they've all been standing there waiting for him. Now, we don't know exactly the time element. This could have been the same day. He could have preached in the morning, started early, preached in the morning, middle of the day, took off, went over to the other country, fell asleep on the way, came back that day. It could have been. Most likely it was the next morning. But whatever it was, the people knew he was coming back. Whether he had borrowed the boats or whether he had promised to return, whatever it was, they knew he was coming back. And they were anxious for him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to be with him. Now, I like to put it in the purest of motives. Because they knew he was the Christ, or because they... Probably not the case, because later on many of them will desert him when he doesn't accomplish their expectations. But I think a lot of them were wanting to see him again because they had seen miracles, they had seen him work, and they were wanting him to do even more. Not only more miracles, but to take over and lead them out of the tyranny of Rome. They had expectations for him. So it wasn't just that they thought he was great. It wasn't just that they were eager to see him to heal, but they also wanted to use him for their own expectations. They wanted him to accomplish their own agenda. And I think that was one of the reasons he was popular, and that's why later on so many of them left him. But for whatever the reason, he was very popular. His popularity was growing. It wasn't on the downhill side. It was growing at this point. But look at the next verse, because we're going to see how he is showing his compassion. There are two people that he's going to encounter specifically on this at this point. One was extremely rich, popular, very socially adept, and the other was extremely poor and unpopular. The first one, verse 41. There came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. So this man was in desperate straits. He was an official. He was an official of the synagogue. Now, before we get going too far, I need you to understand, in the original language, there's a tense that's called the imperfect tense. And he uses it over and over and over here. And what that is, it's an action. It's part of a verb. It's an action that's happened either in the past or in the present over and over and over. It's like what it says here in verse 41. There came a man named Jairus, and he was an official. Was is in the imperfect tense. So in the past, over and over, he's been an official. So in other words, he had been in this position over many times, and he was very good at this position. What an official does, an official of the temple does, he is in charge of the daily events at the temple. Very popular position, very well-known position, very recognizable position. So this man should have been someone who was against Jesus, because many in the temple were, because there was such a power struggle going on. And yet he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. Not only came and did that, but look what it says. He was an official of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. So he fell at his feet. He fell prostrate, just like the demons had in that man. Fell down before him, recognizing his power, recognizing his position, and he implored him. The word implore is, again, an imperfect tense. So he implored him, not just, would you please come to my house and wait for an answer? No, he was begging him, come to my house. In fact, in Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read his account, same thing. Verse 23 says, "And he implored him earnestly, saying, 'My daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live.'" She's at the point of death. "Please come and lay your hands on her." And where it says that she, well, in verse 42 here, "For he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying." Again, that's in the imperfect tense. So this isn't the first time this man has seen his daughter be in such dire straits. She had almost died and almost died and almost died. And she was sick. And it was his only daughter. And he was distraught. But he knew where to go. He recognized the power of Jesus. He recognized what Jesus has done. He had a great position in the temple. He was probably very wealthy. Very popular. Everyone knew him. Everyone went to him with their issues, with their problems, with what was going on in the temple. He would have been very high in the social realm. Everyone knew him. And yet, when he had the issue that he had, he came to Jesus. The most horrible thing in his life, he came to Jesus. Because he recognized his power. He recognized his position. He probably saw his miracles. And he had faith in the healing power of Jesus. And Jesus went. He went with him. Out of compassion, he went with him. The end of verse 42. It says, but as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. As he went to show his power and his place. And he went because he was, fully human. He had a compassionate heart. He went to help him, but he also wanted to show the people his power, to his position. He was exhibiting God's love for the people. He wanted them to experience God's love, and he wanted Jairus to experience God's love, so he went. But the crowds were pressing, and again, that's in the imperfect tense. So over and over it says that. I need you to understand what that meant. The crowds were pressing, again. And it, just like they had in the past, over and over, they pressed in. They're getting in front of him. What's Jairus doing? Come on, Lord, let's go. My daughter. All right, so he has an immediate need. He has an overwhelming need, and his desire is to get Jesus there. In fact, I believe it's in Matthew where it says, if you just lay your hand on her, she'll be healed. So over and over, the crowd's pressing in, and he wants to go, and the crowd's pressing in so tight. We need to understand that because they wanted the same thing. They wanted to get close. And just because of popularity, it could have been, but they wanted to be close to him. They wanted to see him. It's much like, you remember the presidential race? You remember that? When people would walk through the crowds and they'd all go over and they wanted to shake their hands. Why? Because they're popular. It didn't matter who it was. They're popular. They're doing something extraordinary. Where Jesus was doing something extraordinary. All of them were desiring salvation. They wanted to be with him. Because they had an agenda. They wanted him to help them somehow. Or they wanted just to be close. Just to be recognized with him. But let's look at the true power and true help. Look at the next verse. Verse 43. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. All right, starts off not very popular. A woman in that culture that was not like a Jewish man. All right, in that culture. Remember the priest that went in and prayed, lifting his eyes to heaven, he says, thank you, God, that you didn't make me a woman or a sinner, a Gentile. Remember that? That was their mindset. That was the mindset of the society. And here this woman was, just like what we're going to learn about the Samaritan woman, the mindset there. But she came up, she was a woman who was hurting. She was a woman who had a definite problem, a bleeding cycle that would not stop. In Mark chapter 5, I want to read you his account. Mark 5, starting at verse 25, it says, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. That was her mindset. That was her outlook. Now think about it. You had Jairus, who was rich, famous, important, and yet he was in dire straits because of his daughter. And you had this woman who for 12 years had this issue. Now, according to the Old Testament law, according to the Old Testament, when a woman was bleeding, she had to go outside the camp for 7 days. She had to be declared as unclean. Anyone she touched was also declared as unclean. Anything she touched was also declared as unclean. And if someone would touch something that she had touched, it was unclean. They were unclean. Which meant you had to go through a whole ritualistic cycle to become clean again. She didn't have that problem for a week in a month. She had that problem for 12 years every day. For 12 years, and she had gone to physicians, she had gone to everything that she could, spent all of her money. So she was poor. She was an outcast to society. She was most likely an outcast even to her family, because her family couldn't touch her. Her family couldn't touch anything that she had touched, or they would not be able to enter the temple. She was never able to enter the temple. You see, all of this is just exactly the opposite as Jairus, and yet both of them had the same issue. They had a problem they could not do anything about. They had something that was driving them to Jesus because they recognized his power, they recognized his authority. So what'd she do? Verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. Now the word touched, literally in the Greek, it doesn't mean just touch. It means to grab hold of. All right? So the cloaks in that day were the outer garment. They went down and they had four tassels on them, on the four corners. They would put tassels, and that was called the fringe. That was what he's talking about. So she didn't come up behind him and grab his shoulder. She came up from underneath and grabbed that little tassel. She grabbed hold of it. And when she did, she was healed. We see that in verse 44. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Did you notice that she didn't have to go through 6 weeks of therapy? She didn't have to have surgery and then 6 weeks of therapy and then medication for the rest of her life. Immediately it stopped. She understood that Christ had the power to do that. She had faith in him that he had the power to do that. I want to get to the end of this because this is good. And Jesus said, verse 45, so she's there. Jesus knew it. Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me? Who is the one who grabbed me?" is what he's saying. He knew it. It wasn't a surprise because he recognized the work of the Spirit. He recognized the power of the Spirit. Everything that Jesus did on earth, we understand from Scripture that he did through the power of the Spirit. Everything that he said through the Father, what the Father told him to say. That's why he told his disciples, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Because he was an example, our example, but he was an example of someone who was following God intrinsically through his life. He was letting God work his will in him. So he knew something had happened because he recognized the power of the Spirit. He recognized that the Holy Spirit had done something. He knew that. And he said it. He said, "Okay, there's who is it? Who touched me?" And good old Peter, remember Peter? The guy that enters the room mouth first. Peter's going, okay, let's look at this in a natural way here. You're crazy. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching you. What's wrong with you? Can't you see this? Everybody around here. They're pressing in over and over. They're pushing us. They're touching everybody. So he's looking for the natural solution to Jesus' question, to Jesus' problem, the natural solution, which is first thing that Peter would think of, first thing that anyone would think of, the natural solution. Well, everybody's touching you, but Jesus knew. Look what he says in verse 46. Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware of the power had gone out of me." And the words "gone out," I have to find it. Jesus knew it. Gone out. It's in the perfect tense. There it is. It's in the perfect tense, which means it had completely gone out of him. God was faithful. God was faithful to this woman. He was faithful to her because she was seeking Christ. She went to Christ because she knew the answer was in Christ. She knew that. And he was faithful. And so that power had fully, completely gone out of him to heal her. She had faith in what Jesus could do, even if he wasn't aware of it. She was hoping he wouldn't be aware. She was hoping she wouldn't get caught. Why? Because her problem was one you just didn't want to talk about a lot. Her problem was one you just didn't bring up in polite conversation. It was one that you just didn't go to your neighbors and say, you know, I have this problem. You didn't do that, right? Because it was socially not the greatest thing to say. So she didn't want anyone to know. But look what Jesus did. He kept bringing it up. And remember, here's Jairus by his side going, come on, let's go. We need to, my daughter. And Jesus says, wait a second, there's someone here who touched me, who grabbed me. There's someone here who gained power. And I want everyone to know. What had he just done to her physically? He renewed her physically. He renewed her physically. She now no longer had that problem. She was healed. So she came to him. She came. Verse 47. When the woman saw that she could not escape notice, she came trembling, and fell down before him. Again, prostrate. Recognizing his power. Recognizing that he did know. And she was trembling. Because she was afraid. Came trembling, fell down before him, and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. You know what that is for? You know why he did that? Why he allowed that? Or why he wanted her to do that. He wanted her to explain that out. Because he had already restored her physically, but he wanted her restored socially. He wanted the people to know that, you know what? Yes, she did have a problem. Yes, she was an outcast. Yes, she was unclean. Now she's clean. Now she's clean. Because she came to the right source. Because she came to Jesus. But not just that. Keep going. She immediately was healed. So she declared all this. She's out in the open with it now. She's poor. She's outcast even from her family. And yet she got healed. Yet Jesus had compassion to heal him. Now, look at verse 48. Because this is where it gets interesting. I would love to keep going too. Because when with Jairus, and his daughter, it's kind of a copy. And yet it's a little different. But verse 48. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Do you know how many people he called daughter? One. In all the Gospels, he called one person daughter. And it's a very, very affectionate term. This woman right here said, daughter. What did he say? He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You know what made you well is? Literally, in the original language, it's the word sozo. Sozo. You know what word we get from that and what word is translated from that? Saved. Your faith has saved you. And did you see what he said? Go in peace. What kind of peace? The peace of God. The peace with God. He is restoring her spiritually here. It wasn't just a physical restoration that she got. She knew where to go. She knew to go to Jesus. She had the faith to go to Jesus. She went to him. And then when he said, hey, there was power go out from me, something happened, speak up. She didn't want to. She was trembling, but she did because she knew the truth. She told the people what had happened. Remember that demoniac? He said, go and declare to all the people. And he did. And he went out and declared to everyone in the city and everyone in the country what had happened to him. Why? Because he experienced God's love. Now, do you suppose at this point, the next day, if that woman would have come to Jesus, would she have come trembling? not out of fear, because she recognized that the power that he, the example of power that he had bestowed on her was not a fearful thing. It was a glorious, graceful thing. He had given her grace. He had poured out something on her she didn't deserve. He had shown his love in what had happened, and he wanted her to recognize it. He wanted the others around there to recognize it. So he had her come forward. Hey, just tell what's happened. And he said, daughter, my beloved daughter, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Faith in what? Faith in her ability? She had none. Faith in the doctors? She had none. Faith in her money? She had none. Faith in her friends? She had none. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he could do. So yes, when they came to Jesus, the demons, the Jairus, this woman, they came and fell prostrate. Why? Out of fear, knowing his power. The demons didn't have the same reaction as Jairus and this woman does. Why? Because the demons are set in their penalty. But this woman, she came out of fear and trembling, but then she recognized that the power of Jesus wasn't a fearful thing. It was a loving thing. It was used in a loving way. So she recognized the love that he gave. And he said, daughter, my beloved daughter, that faith that you have saved you. Go in peace, peace with God. She could have peace with God because she came to the right source. Jairus, he came to the right source too, and we're going to look at that next week because he gets into all sorts of fun with that. But you know what's amazing here? Because Jesus was willing to restore her physically, socially, and spiritually. And what was the worst time in her life for 12 years was the catalyst and what brought her to Jesus. Recognize that? How about Jairus? Someone who would have hated Jesus, who would have wanted him out of there, and yet what was the worst time in his life was the catalyst for what brought him to Jesus. Because we're always looking at the worst circumstances and saying, God, keep this from me. Fix this. Make it go away. I don't like this. This hurts. This is bad stuff. Get it away from me. Heal everybody and let's just have a really good life. What was it that brought her to Jesus? The problem. What was it that brought Jairus to Jesus? The problem. The issue that nobody wants. Nobody, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. But God used that for them to have faith in Jesus Christ. That's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, he didn't say, it feels really joyful when you fall into various trials. He didn't say that. It feels really good when you fall. He didn't say anything like that. He said, count it. Consider it. Why? Because that grows our faith. In this case, it brought her to faith. It brought her to a relationship where she can recognize now that his power isn't a fearful thing. It is a loving thing. So she can experience that. And she can now go out and spread that. Spread that truth. Just like the man who was demon-possessed was now going out and being a missionary, spreading that truth. Isn't it amazing how God works? And God was working through Jesus. God did this through his son. And his son was pointing her to the truth. She had faith. Folks, that's what it is. Very simply, salvation is not hard. It's not something that I have to work so hard for. Salvation is trusting Christ, having faith in Christ.
what he can do. All she knew about was what he could do for her physically. And look what he did for her socially. Look what he did for her spiritually.
The physical would have lasted till the end of her life. The social part would have lasted till the end of the lives of everyone around her that saw it. Spiritual is still going on. She's alive spiritually forever. So his restoration is full restoration. In this case, that's what he did. You know what? There are circumstances that some of you may not be restored from. She was 12 years. You notice Jairus, the guy's daughter? She was 12 years old. They've been going on a long time. And I'm sure Jairus had made sacrifices and done everything he could. And she had gone to doctors, done everything she could. Finally came to the end and said, I can't. That's where we've got to be. I can't. You can. Isn't that cool? That he uses something so awful to have something so good. God can work through your circumstances. He loves you. He still loved her. He taught her his power was a gift of love. Her experience was grave. Her circumstance was grave. So was his. And he went to Jesus. Folks, if you've never trusted Christ, your circumstance is grave. Because eternity without Christ is horrid. Can't even begin to tell you how horrid. If you've never trusted Christ, I'd love to show you how you can have a relationship with him so that his power isn't one to fear. His power will help you in love. If you have trusted Christ, then know this. Every circumstance that you are going through, every one, how awful it is, can lead you to trust him more. Consider it joy. Don't feel joyful. Consider it joy. When you go through these trials. Why? Because it draws you to him. When you look to him as the answer. Not when you look to everything else around him, but to him as the answer. Keep trusting him. Keep going back to Jesus. Keep going to him. He loves you. Let's close in prayer.